Tune into this brand new episode in which we demystify show prep, changing trends in video production, while also tackling the tough subject of diversity and inclusivity, the challenges and barriers that many of us still face in event production, but also the opportunities for growth that as event producers we have to increase representation and build a better community for our events, but also for our event production teams and labor crews.
Welcome to Events Demystified Podcast, where we explore and demystify the world of in-person, virtual, hybrid event AV production and technology by sharing insightful tips, tricks and tactics to make your events a success. This podcast is brought to you by Tree Fan Events, a woman-owned boutique event production agency. And your host is Anka Trifan, a technical event planner and producer with almost two decades of hands-on technical experience in event production.
Welcome to another episode of the Events Demystified Podcast, your one-stop shop for tangible, technical, and practical planning advice for anyone in the event industry. Today's episode is sponsored by Trifan Events, a woman-owned boutique event production agency, and I am your host, Anka Trifan. On the show with me today, I have a senior video engineer, LED engineer, projection specialist, and video project manager, my dear event production friend, Jason Brown. Originally from Chicago, Illinois, Jason has lived in Las Vegas for almost two decades, where he began working in video production and held a senior video engineer role for Freeman, Vegas's leading production company. He also developed his own online streaming business, VidLive Events, a live streaming video production company that specializes in real estate pre-recorded virtual live showings, as well as web streaming of virtual live events by using today's latest technology to improve customer care, marketing, and transitions for all of his clients. I personally had the pleasure of working side by side with Jason on a large project down in Southern California and see him in action, tackling challenges head on, troubleshooting on the fly while keeping his cool and acting like the professional that he is while also being so much fun to be around. Honesty and integrity, along with determination and dedication, are indeed Jason's guiding principle in all aspects of his life. So let's bring him in and get started. Welcome to the show, Jason. What a pleasure it is to have you here. I see it's very sunny in Vegas today.
It is. It's like, oh, so bright out. Can you see that? It's so bright outside right now.
It's pretty rad to have you today, and especially with that view. I mean, yeah. It sounds like you're definitely living the Las Vegas lifestyle.
Yeah, this is, you know, not everyone has an office view like this. So, you know. I'm blessed. That's what it is.
Well, it's my great pleasure to have you on for sure. So here's one thing. I've probably got an inkling, but for the benefit of our audience, I've got to ask you something that I like to ask my guests this season. And that is, what are you most passionate about on a professional and personal level? And please don't say orcas. Okay, side note, because I probably missed mentioning why orcas would be quite fascinating to you. And that has to do with the fact that you've graduated in marine biology and biological oceanograph. I can't say that word. Biological, you say it.
And oceanic studies.
Oceanic studies. Yeah. There you go. Which still kind of blows my mind, okay? Because I would love to know all about how you ended up in video production from marine biology, all the while competing in dozens of bodybuilding and fighting competitions. So who is Jason Brown? And from all the things that you have done and are doing currently, what are you most passionate about?
So I'll definitely say the thing that I'm most passionate about is my family, right? Like that's always going to be the driving force, I think, for most people, my family and my loved ones, my friends. If we're talking like a professional realm, the thing that has really given me that I want to get up, I want to go do it. I really enjoy LED engineering now. That was something where I wasn't sure if I was going to be a fan of it. But now I'm like, oh, it's almost all that I do nowadays. Now, how did I transition from, you know, studying pen and pet rookeries and whatnot to doing video? I think like most college students, you figure it out. Almost everyone that I know that has been to to college or graduated in whatever field that they studied, they're no longer in that field now. And for myself, we did so many different things down in San Diego. I went to Long Beach State University. So we were right on the water, which is important. We would go to San Diego often. Come summertime, everyone's looking for jobs, right? Because you got to still work and support yourself. And came to Vegas a few times and kind of saw production. Like, wow, what is that? You know, it's very interesting to me. I'm a martial artist now about 29 years. So I'm really dating myself there. But with that, once I started competing, there's a lot of production that's going on, a lot of production. And it's all on the fly. And watching that, even though you're about to compete, you're watching that like, those guys look way more stressed than me. So I'd kind of get in with a couple people, kind of learn what they're doing. And then again, it was always fascinating to me. So once I graduated and made my way up to Vegas, started, you know, competing again professionally, but that was always there. So meeting a few people, kind of learning what engineering was, I'm like, I want to try that because it seems really difficult. And now that I'm in, I'm like, yeah, it's really difficult. But no matter what, the fun is there. You know this, there's nothing like live entertainment. So that's how I got into it.
So you got attracted to the stress and the challenge, or just the fluff and the glamorous lifestyle that production people have?
You know, I'm still looking for that glamour. I know you would think I have it because of my office view, but I don't. I'm renting this. So I mean, it definitely is a lifestyle, right? There's so many different aspects of it, though. That's what I really enjoyed. When you think video specifically for myself, there's projection, there's LED, there's cameras, there's being a technical director, there's legitimately engineering, you know, there's system rack build. There's so many different parts. And to see it all come together cohesively to give an experience, that's what always drove me in that career.
So as you've mentioned, and yourself, you've been in live entertainment industry for over 18 years, a long time, specializing in video production.
That's a long time, right?
It is a long time. With all the certifications ranging in, you know, projection specialist, LED engineer, screen management, broadcast cameras, which has allowed you to be the top producing video engineer that you are now, serving the greater Las Vegas real estate market with your background in high-end video production and project management. What can you tell us about the differences that freelancing has provided you with versus working for a large companies such as Freeman when it comes to event production and access to new technologies as it relates to, you know, video pre-production and production work?
Well, definitely there's something to be said about working for, you know, Freeman is a great company. You know, they've got access to everything. Prior to working for Freeman, I worked for Encore Productions. Great company. They have access to everything. So with that, you...
Was that when they were PSAV?
I was before. It was before they were PSAV. So I got with Encore when they were
the original Encore.
Yes. So when I was with Encore, Freeman purchased them and they fell under the Freeman umbrella. So now I believe they're PSAV now. So, but just again, being a part of larger production houses, there's good and bad with that. The bad, I would say, is the workload is insurmountable sometimes. I mean, it's good in the fact that you're always working, but it's kind of hard sometimes to pull back and learn specifics. So one great thing about Freeman is, you know, I had the opportunity to go and become specialized in different things, right? So now being able to take that and working freelance, you know, I worked for some great companies like Third Eye Productions is a great company here in Vegas. Four Moon is a great company in Vegas, where now you can take what you've learned and go in and do a specialized thing for those companies, right? Where again, holding a senior role, you better know it all because you don't know what you're going to go fall into. You know, you're most times you're a firefighter. So you walking into a burning building and you're figuring out what's on fire and prioritizing, you know, what room is burning, which one is burning brighter, right? So
and who needs saving the most?
Yeah. And of course, everyone needs saving the most. As soon as you show up, everyone's like, me, me, me. It teaches you a lot. It teaches you how to prioritize more than anything, but there is major differences with freelancing as opposed to working for a larger company. There's a freedom, you know, and that can't be discounted. Having freedom to go and do kind of what you want, that's kind of what everyone dreams of, but you have to earn it, I guess.
Well, let's not forget about the hustle, because doing what you want also comes at the price of having to go and get it.
Exactly. And we completely understand this, right? Like, how many times do you have to bid? How many times are you underbid? You know, like, there's definitely a struggle there. So hopefully I'm not making it sound all rosy, because it's not. But again, I feel like if you gathered the experience for 18 plus years, right? So if you're an oldie like myself, you can kind of navigate it a bit better.
Like, don't do the math. Don't do the math.
Seasoned. I like seasoned.
That's right. So Jason, it is no secret to anyone that the world of event production is not the most inclusive world of them all. There's been a lot of progress due to awareness that's been created in the last few years, but there's still a ways to go. Now, as a brown professional, as you like to call yourself, that has had to navigate and fight his own way for inclusion in a field that, let's be frank, it's homogeneous in so many ways. Sometimes that goes beyond gender. And yes, let me pause here to say that I came to the table with all the privilege, you know, and the blind spots of a white female in an industry that is truthfully male dominated. Someone that had to be made aware or get to be aware of and acknowledge the role of my own identity and how it may play out in my attitudes and interactions. And more than once, I've had to say, hey, I acknowledge that because I am white and I have a certain amount of, you know, status, power, money, whatever, I might say some really ignorant things and make some really poor word choices, but I want to give you permission to please call me out when that happens. And humility, curiosity, and the ability to just sometimes shut up and listen are all critical ways in which we allow ourselves the ability to open up our broader understanding and be effective allies. And so with that, what have been some of your greatest challenges or barriers that you've had to face in your 18 plus years career as it relates to diversity, inclusion, and equity in event production?
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, this is even still a topic nowadays. You know, like, we definitely like to, I think we look back at things that were so bad and then compare them to where we are now and say, well, we're not there. Well, neither are good. Okay. So the fact that, exactly what you said, you know, you're a Caucasian female, so there's a certain amount of, I guess, respect that comes with that. Okay. And maybe it's unbeknownst to you, but there is. And me being a brown male, there's a certain amount of respect that comes with that also. Okay. So it's never going to be apples to apples, but we both have an amount of privilege and they're never going to be equal, which is really the problem. So for yourself, the first time I saw you working, I'm like, man, she's killing it. There you go. Right. I didn't think anything else. And unfortunately for myself, what I've experienced throughout my career, especially coming up from literally the ground up, which I think is the best way to go, but coming from the ground up, there was the thing that people see first is this, right? The reality is they see this. And I mean, you can try, but I'm never going to change who I am. This is who I am.
Are you saying that they see, you know, like how hot we are, and then I think they know what they're doing, but I'm not sure.
I will say, honestly, there will be parts of that, right? Like, some of that comes with it. But like, for yourself, the bad part would be if someone is thinking that out the gate, then they're completely discounting your ability.
Right.
Right. And countless times I've been told, you know, oh, that guy, I mean, he can go and he'll do all the heavy lifting.
He can push, like, the cases.
Right. And I'm like, but the types of challenges that I'll say me specifically, I've faced, one, coming into a field where not everyone looks like I do. And that's still to this day. Okay. When I started learning video, I was the only person that looked like this. Okay. And it's not weird to me, but it was very weird to everyone else. And that's a problem. As I started progressing in video, it was things like, well, why does he know that? Who taught him that? It's like, well, I had to self-teach. Like, I really would take books and books and books home because no one wanted to teach me. And it's not because I'm unapproachable or untrainable. It was, well, we have our guys already. I'm like, okay, well, and I noticed that your guys look like you. Okay. So there's always going to be the thing where people have their clique. The problem is my clique of individuals that I rely on, they look like you, they look like me, they look like everyone. Okay. And I feel like in the event industry, it can get very segmented that way. It's very segregated in a way that I haven't experienced in any other field. You know, I do a few other things, you know, professionally. And this is one of those fields where I'm like, that's weird to me that you're okay with this. Like, I don't like going to a show site to get a job done and it's the same people. Okay. One thing that problem that creates is when those people are no longer there, then what, right? That causes labor woes. That causes, there's so many different things that that causes, right? So when I started to become better at what I did, a major part of me trying to create change was to be more inclusive. One awesome thing working at Freeman, I had my first female boss, like in my entire career of any work ever. And she's one of my greatest friends to this day, Tan Wells. Man, she's a firecracker, but she really knows her stuff. And I always admired that. Another few individuals that I got to work with, all females, that were just very powerful females. You know, Maggie Harker is a powerful female who handles the stuff where other people are like, I don't want to do that. But when I listen to conversations that people have about them, they would keep them like here because they're female. I'm like, you have no idea what these individuals are capable of, but you're putting them in this category because they don't look like you. Yeah. And that's based on gender. A lot of times it's based on gender. And of course it's based on, you know, whatever your ethnicity is. So again, for myself coming in and being able to start training people, like my classes and video recording and cameras and screen management systems, like my classes were full of everything. And that's how it should be, you know, yeah. Like that. I just think it's a lot easier to fix than what we make it out to be. And a lot of times that's because we're not taking the reins ourselves.
So all that to say, in order to make space for a greater diversity, we do need to step out of our comfort zones. We need to be willing to talk about sensitive topics and issues like, you know, racial justice and systemic oppression. And so in the spirit of open communication, where do you see the most opportunity for growth in our industry moving forward, where neurodiversity becomes a topic of conversation and we're intentional about creating physically accessible spaces and experiences for everyone? And especially in this field, as you said, is so segregated. And I experienced that myself. I talk about it with my male counterparts, they're like, what are you talking about? That's not our experience. Well, duh.
Right. That's my point, right? That's the point right there. And honestly, I'm sure what you've experienced probably parallels some of my experiences as well. Okay. So that's the other thing is I would never discount what you've experienced just because I've experienced something myself. I think as far as, you know, like if we're talking like racial injustices and systemic racism, it, like those problems are fixable, but they're going to take a lot longer than what anyone I think could ever imagine. And mainly because the people that keep those systems in place have a reason to keep them in place. Like, why would I want you to be able to have what I have if I just don't want you to have it? Sometimes it's really that simple, right? It doesn't have to be there's these different moving parts. Sometimes people just don't want you to have what they have. So how can you fix that? And I think for myself personally, and if we're just talking about in our field, I make it a point to not walk into my next show seeing the people I saw at my last. That's very important. And that's a very easy thing, I think, to do. And I've noticed a lot of people have a barrier up against that because, well, we don't know if those people are capable of doing the job. Well, they're never going to be capable of doing the job if they're not given the opportunity. Opportunity Absolutely. Is everything. Okay.
So interesting, because I was just having a conversation with a girl that reached out to me. She's from the East Coast and she reached out to me via LinkedIn and she's like, I work for this video production company, but I really like to get into AV production and they're just not giving me a chance. Like they're really making me do all this like scheduling and paperwork and like taking care of things. Yeah, like inventory control, whatever, quality control. But none of those things actually put me any closer to my goal of actually right. being hands-on. Right. And I approached them several times and every single time they try to put me back in my place that I'm not the right fit for this position. Well, how am I ever going to be the right fit for this position if I'm never ever given a chance?
Right. Just to hear you say that, put me back in my place. Those are the things, right? And it was probably literally said as such. Okay, well, this is not the place for you. This is not the spot for you. Like when I say sometimes people just don't want you to have what they have, like that's why we are where we are. Okay. And, you know, our IATSE union here in Vegas, I think is great, where some of the powerhouse video engineers that I've worked with are female. Okay. And we just know them as we want that person on this job because this job can't fail. Not, well, we need a girl. Like, no, we need an engineer. Guess whose name comes up? Okay. But again, that's because those individuals are given the opportunity. Third Eye Production, there's a young lady there named AJ. I've only spoken with her over the phone, like for months, and she knows her stuff, you know, and we end up having like a production call and she's on the call and she knows her stuff. And then we go out to CES and she's on site and she knows her stuff. Like, to me, that's how you want to do things. Okay. And I do believe that we're coming into a new era of really trying to push against norms. And I think that that's good. Our industry, though, I think the conversation that you and I are having right now is how that starts.
So as we wrap our heads around the actual problem and how we fix it, and in hopes of supporting other event organizers and especially event production business owners, would you like to share any other ways in which we could meaningfully increase the diversity of our event production teams? Like, what does it take to start with a team that is diverse all across the board? There's equity and there's inclusivity part of that.
One of the major things is, you know, if we're being honest, a lot of the major owners of event management, live entertainment are men. Those men, if they have a significant other who's a female, they need to think, how would they react to someone putting their significant other in essentially the caste system of, hey, this is what you're born and this is what you're going to be. So that's it. And you need to be okay with that. You know, when I think about inclusivity, I think daughter, wives, mothers. Like, I couldn't imagine someone relegating my loved ones to what they think they should have. So stepping outside of yourself, not out of your comfort zone, stepping outside of yourself, that whole walk a mile in someone's shoes, like, as tired of a phrase as that is, right? But it's true.
Bumper stickers.
Right. Like, it really... It's all the slogans, right? So some of those slogans, like, they make sense. I will say, though, it all starts with labor. And labor is one of those things in our industry that no one touches. No one wants to touch it. It's messy. You've got to go about vetting people. Like, it's a lot that's involved with that. But labor is where it's at. If you can kind of generate a strong labor pool and then get that same labor, not the same exact, but generate another strong labor pool in another location and another strong labor pool in another location, have those labor pools commingle. Okay. Because I believe I've always seen the each one teach one when you have strong enough players, because when you're good at what you do, you don't have the fear of someone replacing you. Like, I really believe that. I don't have a fear that someone's going to, hey, he does video better than him. Maybe he does, you know, and I'm okay with that. But labor is where it's at. If you invest more in labor and maybe a bit less in other areas, I think that you're going to find that not only will the inclusivity just kind of organically come about, but you're not going to have those issues where we have no one to do this, so we got to rely on the old players. Especially in the freelance world, those old players know that. And you know what they know? Well, I'm the only one that can do it, so you got to put up with me.
And I think in so many ways, you know, COVID and the pandemic, it has definitely shaken the ground when it comes to labor, qualified labor, talent, skills, what's available and what's becoming available. Because while some people might have left, you know, their careers in event production, because it was hard. It was definitely a time when a lot of people had to, you know, make tough choices. Other people are coming into it with a fresh new perspective, new skills, and taking advantage of this to sort of shake the old waters, if you may, and create this type of diverse labor pool of people that now can take the roles of some older qualified, very qualified for sure. But it's like, if you've been in that role for about 40, 50 years, probably it's time to, you know, shake the waters a little bit and bring some new people in.
I definitely agree with that. And I think it, again, it goes back to labor, where you become so comfortable with this person that got you through your first two shows, you're only going to use that person forever. Okay. Definitely at Freeman, I got a chance to work actively with labor a lot. So I have an understanding of it where I'm like, this is the problem. This is the problem. You have individuals that are so tied into, well, this is the only person that can do it. And you're never giving anyone else an opportunity. And I mean, that's across the board. You're just not giving them the opportunity. And then if something, this always happens for whatever reason, that person that you want, because he's the only person that can get it done, something happens where he's no longer available and you have to throw someone in. And because that someone never got the opportunity to get good at what the role is, they bomb.
So it's a vicious cycle, basically.
Exactly. Because now you're like, told you. And especially, you know, depending on what union that you're dealing with, that person can now be lettered and never get an opportunity to do that job again. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
Okay, hold that thought as we take a short moment to give a shout out to our main sponsor and supporter, Trifun Events, and come back to this important conversation. Before we move any further, I wanted to give a quick shout out to our main sponsor, Trifun Events, which is a boutique event planning and production agency that will come alongside you, offering personalized event planning and technical support, strategic event design, production and technology management, and flawless execution for live, virtual, and hybrid events. The team at Trifun Events is passionate about planning and producing event experiences that get people involved with true moments of interaction, engagement, and co-creation, while offering white glove treatment throughout the entire planning process, enabling you to reach your event goals with the use of creativity, production tools, and event technology. Find out how Trifun Events can plan and produce your event become memorable. Go to trifunevents.com. So Jason, earlier in our conversation, you mentioned how you are so fond of your former boss that you work with and for, the first and only female show director that I personally found quite interesting for a man in event production to leave the pride and ego aside and elevate a female by the choice of his words. Would you say, and this is a personal question probably, would you say that can it be hard for a man to work under a female, and why do you think is that?
So, yeah, I think that it can be, and I'm not speaking for me specifically, but I think that, yes, it 100% can be such the societal ego crush for you to have to take directions from a female. And I've seen it many times, you know, especially when she and I first started working together, and I'd go out, you know, to different shows, and I would see how men would react when they saw her. They were almost like, oh, crap, oh, crap. All right. And I'm like, what's wrong with you guys? Like, what's, well, we can't say this. We can't say that. I have to be,
we can't make those jokes.
Right. I can't do this. I can't do that. And man, she's probably going to be mad at whatever. To me, it's hilarious. I'm like, well, if you feel as if you can't say those things because she's here, maybe there's a problem with you saying that. It has nothing to do with her. This is you. This is your own thing. So there's that. And not just with her, just, you know, in general, watching how the pause that people would get when she would, you know, go in on whatever the topic is, and they immediately are like, okay, yeah, you know what you're doing. You know what you're talking about. I'm not even going to say what I was going to say. Again, standing behind her, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. That's hilarious. What were you thinking, right? And why does it matter? For me, yeah. It's like, why does this matter at all? I was amped like to have a female boss because I've always had male bosses, and being a male boss myself, there's certain things that, you know, I will say, like I would say to this guy where I probably would not have said it to a female. And what it really did was kind of made me even take a back step and go, oh, okay, well, then it's just not okay to say that. You know, and I don't mean anything outrageous. I just mean, even tonally, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe I didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that. So I think that, yeah, it's a big blow to a lot of egos when all of a sudden you feel like, but I'm supposed to be above you. That's the thing. Okay. And again, speaking as a brown young man, young, by the way, speaking as a brown young man,
100%.
I've absolutely had that. Like, and this is not an exaggeration. I've been asked, so where are you from? You speak so well. Like, I've been asked that. I've been asked, you know, this probably my favorite is I'd spoken with this gentleman over the phone for like a month or two in regards to a show. We're getting things ironed out. And he actually makes it out to where I'm located. And I'm in the office doing, you know, some work. And he comes in. My name's on the door, right? So he knows it's the office. He comes in and he swings his head in and he sees me and he swings his head back out. And he comes back in later and he's like looking around. And it's like, you know, when Jason's going to be here? And I looked at him and I was like, yeah, I didn't want to say anything because he would hear my voice, right? And he comes back later with someone else and they're like, yeah, he's right here. And the look on his face, he's like, you're Jason? Like, today only. Yes, I'm Jason today. Like, How embarrassing. Okay.
And not that is me. So funny. Well, aren't you lucky you don't actually speak with an accent? Because I get asked that all the time. It's like one of those pet peeves of mine where somebody comes at me and asks me one more time.
Yes. Yes. Hey, you know what? A shared experience, just different, right?
That's right. Okay, here's one thing. Here's one thing, though. I feel like when a man walks into a venue space and he's surrounded by an event team and he concisely and firmly tells the team what they need to do, that's proper. That's okay. I walk into the same space and I do exactly the same thing. I'm seen as bossy. Why is that?
So can I say why? I have an opinion as to why people would think that.
Okay, let's hear it.
So the societal norms that we really need to crush, okay? It's the same reason why my confidence is only looked at as being conceited, okay? So you coming into a space saying, all right, guys, this is what we got to do. All right, we've got this, we've got that. This is your job. This is your job. You're like, yeah, but the person who told me that the last 8 shows didn't look like you. And this goes back to what I'm saying, okay? The more that you have a diverse labor pool, it's no longer like, whoa, who is this? Why are you telling me that, okay? But people get so comfortable with their comfort. And I believe that especially in our field, in my field of video, nothing's ever comfortable. Everything's going to go wrong, okay? And you have to know that walking in. So if you were to tell me that you've stepped into a video crew like that would make me sad to hear that. Because when I think video, the field that I love, we get it. We should anyway. There's always going to be outliers, but we get it. Everything is going to fall apart. And I need the best people that have my back and I have your back. Not I need the best guys or I need the best women. I've definitely walked into conversations and I'm a fairly confrontational person. So I like to jump in when I hear these conversations about, you know, women only do lighting. Yeah, like tell her I don't need to hear anything other than lighting my stage. She needs to go do lighting. I, again, love to jump in those conversations. Like, oh, are you going to go tell her that? Well, someone needs to. No, I know, but you're saying it. So how about you go tell her that? I'll go with you. And I want to be a part of it. I want to see you do what you're saying right now. And the creativity that it takes in the lighting field, as opposed to, and this individual specifically was a camera op. Like, you are running camera. She is responsible for this entire ballroom to look a certain way, and specific areas are going to look completely different from others. And you're telling me, as the camera guy who's just getting a shoulder and headshot, that she needs to go do her job.
And hopefully getting it in focus, because I've also worked with camera guys that the only job they had was to make sure that when that shot live, it's focused and it does not take 30 seconds to come in focus.
That's all I need. Yes, that's all I need you to do. It was probably the same person, right?
Probably, I'm only one.
There's only one. No, I've had that too. I've had a camera guy who was the biggest complainer about everyone else when it came showtime, and I'm calling cameras and I'm like, listen, what are you doing out there? He's not responding. But here's what's happening. Camera is slowly starting to tilt down. Exactly. I'm like, is he not on comm? I'm like, hey, just look, the next switch is this. All right. I already have the presets. I'm going to run out there real quick. I go out there and he's literally like this. In that moment, like I was so upset that I had to laugh, right? I laughed loud enough where he's like, huh? What? I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to wake you. But
sorry, go ahead. Keep doing what you're doing.
You look like you were having
don't mind that we're
sleep.
On a show right now, exactly. Like live, you know, don't mind that.
All those lights that are going off, the ones that you complained about, right? I'm like, you know what, don't worry though. In 15 minutes, you're out of here anyway. So, but I can see that being a problem for you because like knowing you, you're confident. And the confidence comes with experience, okay? Confidence is not being full of yourself. I mean, there are certain people that are, right? But being confident in, hey, I was tasked with this. They believe in me enough to do this. Okay. I need you guys to believe that I'm going to lead you to success. As a leader, you have to have that. You can't lead unless you have that. Obviously, there's a fine line, but you have to have that. And there are men. I mean, there's women also, but there's men that are way put off by that, Like, again, why are you saying that to me?
Yeah.
And a lot of it is the last person that said it didn't look like you.
And God forbid to maybe critique just one tiny aspect of the performance, because if a guy happens to say that, he's like, hey, thanks, bro. You know, thanks for the tip, you know.
Right.
You say that and you're like, you're critiquing my work? How dare you?
Yes.
And then all the things, you know.
I've seen that too. And again, just in my field and anyone who's in video production, there are certain slots in video production where those type of attitudes live. And it's usually the position that can sit back with one system and watch the whole world burn down around them. But they're like, hey, this one thing's good though, so you guys figure it out. Okay, that I'm telling
mine
you.
Mine is working.
Yes, the single thing that I'm here for, good to go. And it looks hot over there in that fire though. So, you know, you want to actively avoid those individuals. Yeah, just to speak to what you're saying though, that hurts to hear that that happens, but I know that it does. I've heard different chatter on site that, well, see, she's here, he's here, she's here, she's here, because if affirmative action wasn't a thing, they wouldn't even be here. Now, I'm going to tell you, the person that I heard say that was a female, okay? Okay. The person I heard say that was a Caucasian female. And again, I like confrontation. So I went on over there just to kind of piggyback off what you're saying. I'm not sure if you're aware who in the United States of America, who the biggest beneficiaries of affirmative action are, because it's not people that look like me. It's people that look like you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just kind of the look, one of being confronted over it was like, oh, well, I didn't mean to offend. Well, you didn't offend me. I think that you're like ridiculous, right? I'm not offended. But exactly what I'm saying is the truth though. And anyone can look that up. So sometimes we don't realize the privilege that we have when we're speaking ignorantly about something that we don't know anything about. That's a big thing.
So again, going back to, you know, having those honest conversation, but also humility to accept the fact that we might say some really stupid things, we believe it or not, or feel it or not. And if we do, then you retrace your step and see where did it all go so wrong that this is the belief that you've built your life on or whatever your standards on. So next, let's go into something fun. It's what I call the rapid fire segment.
Oh no. Is this fun for me? What's happening right now?
I don't know. I think it's fun for me. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to ask you a round of rapid questions. Answer each one of them with the first thing that comes to your mind and see what happens. Okay. Are you ready?
Gotcha. I'm ready.
Okay. The perfect hybrid event is?
Perfect hybrid event, I think, is something that has had enough pre-production, at least a minimum of 2 weeks, so that we can iron out the basics. And it has a very strong internet backbone to drive the entire event.
Okay. What makes a virtual event iconic is?
I think the presenters and the amount of production flair we can give via virtual.
The most engaging event experience must have?
Must have, personally, I think projection mapping. It must have LED. It must have a minimum of a 3-to-1 blend screen. These are the things that are eye candy.
Do you know what's the difference between like talking to an event production person and somebody that's just like event strategy level? That is not the answer that I usually get to that question.
Oh, my bad.
Sorry for not feeding the bill.
Yes. I'm not trying to be different, but it's true. Eye candy. That's what makes the event, where people walk away like, whoa, what was that? That's what makes it.
What is one piece of advice that you were given that you still follow today?
This has stuck with me since she told me, and this is Tan, the young lady I was speaking about, my first female boss, always promote what we can pull off successfully. That has always stuck with me.
That's awesome. What is one thing that is always on your mind professionally?
Unfortunately, what's next?
Next event, next experience,
next adventure. Exactly. Like, that's all encompassing, but, and I'm sure you understand this, we can miss the experience because once you're there, you're like, I've got to get something else lined up. Mm. That's the stress that comes with what we do.
What is one thing that people often tend to get wrong about you?
Well, that I shouldn't speak this way. I guess that would be one of them, right? Since we're getting so personal. I think something people get wrong about me is that from the ocular pat down, that I'm not going to be a nice guy when you actually speak to me. Mm. And feel free to use ocular pat down. It's pretty awesome.
I have no idea what that means, but I might have to Google
it. Scanning with your eyes. So yeah, that's always been a thing. That people will see me and assume I'm going to be a certain way. And after 2 or 3 minutes, like, oh, that guy's awesome. So
That's awesome. Okay, so we've talked about diversity, inclusion. We've talked a lot about what that means in event production. And we've talked about some of the things that you have done, you know, to push for the change that you're so passionate about. Anything else that you'd like to add to that?
Just, again, speaking as someone who, you know, I'm not saying I'm in a position of power, but in a way I am. I just think that anyone who has the ability to create change, and if you think that it's not enough, or you think it's too small, or it's not going to make a difference, you're all wrong. Every single thing that we do that can promote change is always going to move us forward. Like progression, that has got to be where we're at. Because if we don't do that, if we're comfortable with being comfortable, I think our industry, and not just speaking industry-wise, but just, you know, as people, like we're not going to go anywhere. Like evolution is a thing and we all need to evolve, but we can evolve together. Okay. And that's inclusive, like all of us.
I like that. Now, in closing, what's one piece of advice that you would like to leave our audience with, so they remember you by, and do not use some words that I'm going to have to Google?
No. I won't do that. You're incredibly smart. You won't have to Google anything.
I'm kidding, but you know what I mean.
Okay, I would say to remember me by, just when you see people who look like myself, don't have assumptions. Like that's the most important thing. And that's not that hard to do. Don't assume that a person is or what you've heard about. Get to know the person. When you get to know the person, they could be someone you know for the rest of your life. And I'm worth knowing for the rest of your life. Maybe.
I can get behind that. Awesome. Thank you so much, Jason, for your insightful wisdom, all the big words you've used, your perspective on diversity, inclusion, equity, all the things that you've shared with our audience today. Where can our audience that would like to learn more about you connect with you?
On this podcast, number one, because this was awesome. Thank you so much for having me. Like this is great. You can reach me at vidliveevents.com. It'll give you a whole rundown of everything that I do there. That has all of my social media links and everything. So pretty simple. One-stop shop.
I love it. Okay. Well, friends, this is it for today's episode. If you're planning on buying or selling in the Las Vegas area and need some super solid video production, you got to contact Jason, and all the links will be in the episode notes as well. He will make sure to take you and your project to the highest level of production, because he takes pride in that. And thank you for listening and staying tuned till the very end. Make sure that you connect with us on social as well, and we'll see you on our next episode soon.
Thank you for listening to the Events Demystified podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to review it, rate it, and share it with other event professionals that could benefit from it. Connect with us on social at Events Demystified Podcast. We would love to hear from you and what you're up to. If you'd like to learn more about TreeFan Event Services and find out if we're a good fit in supporting your event, can we help your event be successful with a 20-minute free consultation? Link in the episode's notes. Thanks for tuning in.